Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Michael.
I'm Noe.
And we are the Knights of Entertainment, a podcast covering your favorite and unknown movies, games, comic books, anime, and more weekly. We appreciate you being here and hope you enjoy the show. Let's go ahead and get started.
All right, everybody. So this is our new show. I know this is replacing Cozy Nights. For those of you that loved it, I'm sorry. It's over. Move on, just like The Sopranos. We got to move on. I wanted to focus to make nightly news because I just love it, you know, keeping myself well informed, like on actual news, but also on the randomest stories I could find. But it'll take me a while to get used to like actually researching constantly, because I spent all week like looking up three stories a day, and now I'm exhausted. And trying to verify if the stories are real or if anything changed in the stories, I had to keep checking the day after.
If there's been any redactions.
Or updates or anything. So it's a hassle. Hopefully one day I'll get some researchers to help me out and make this show a daily thing so it's more up to date. Because once a week is not, I mean, it's called nightly news. It's not very nightly if it's on one day. But, you know, we got to get started somewhere. We got a Patreon. Give us money and we'll make better news. We don't have a Patreon, do we? We'll get a Patreon.
We have a buy me a coffee. I know that.
I don't like coffee, but you can buy me.
That's a mead. Buy me a mead.
Buy me a coffee. I love news. I don't know why. I just love reading stuff that's true because, I have an expression somewhere that I found. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, this quote, from screenplay by David S. Cohen. Where he wrote, truth doesn't have to be believable, fiction does. So that means that no matter how ridiculous a story is, if it happened in real life, news-wise, you have to believe it.
Yeah.
Like, you got no choice. Like, you see, someone saw it, someone witnessed it, someone recorded it, somebody talked about it, you know what I mean?
Well, think about the old saying, sometimes reality is stranger than fiction.
And sometimes it is real strange. And so, Nightly News will be your source of comedic commentary on the world at large, as I suppose. So we'll start with a feel-good story from KOC News. I'll try to cite my sources as best I can. Sometimes I forget. I'm not trying to plagiarize or anything. None of this stuff is my own actual research. I'm not on the field, you know, researching people, getting
smart. No, you're a comedic commentator.
I'm a comedic commentator who just likes news. This is a feel-good story from KOC News, Channel 5, or I said KOCO News 5, written by Elsie Jones. So in honor of his late wife, this man by the name of Sean Cummings has basically dedicated the rest of his life to canceling the lunch debt on all sorts of schools around Oklahoma. So far he's canceled, he's basically paid for him out of his own pocket for 20 schools I don't know what the hell lunch debt is. I didn't look into it deep enough, but apparently when kids have like their own debt at school, mm-hmm. it rolls over to the next month, and sometimes it affects them to graduate or whatever if they don't pay their lunch debt.
Yeah.
So he decided to just take it upon himself because his wife used to be a chef and her main goal in life was to feed people. And now she's dead, so he decided to start paying their lunch debt. You know, one check for $2,000 on one in the school, and he just moves on to the next one, like a goddamn Robin Hood. So good on you, Sean Cummings. You're a good man.
That's a good story.
Next up, we have a one for you. There is a new anthology graphic novel coming out called Joker of the World, where Joker is going to different stories of Joker in different parts of the world. It's coming out September 17, 2024, and it's going to have him going to, Spain, Germany, Italy, Brazil, Mexico, the Czech Republic, Turkey, Japan, Korea, Cameroon, Poland, and Argentina. So we'll see how he causes mischief and mayhem all over the world, which I'm sure he's really good at, even if he doesn't speak the language at all.
So he's taking a trip outside of Gotham?
He's just probably getting away from Batman. His jaw probably hurts from getting socked in the face. So we'll see. It's going to be written by people that are local to the area. So if it's written in Korea, it's going to be a Korean writer maybe and a Korean artist.
So you know that the Korean one, the Japanese one, and a couple of the other ones are going to be pretty good. But Czech Republic and Poland, I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how they do. I mean, I'm not buying it. I don't. Not really my genre anymore.
Yeah,
but we'll see how they do. Breaking news. I know nothing about women. I found out.
I kind of told you that.
I'm very entirely, what's the word, in the dark when it comes to the female form. I recently found out something called the P spot and the A spot. And I barely knew the G spot. So now I'm back to square one. No longer am I a Casanova. I am a student with a composition notebook. I was watching some videos on YouTube about like, and it was like sex therapists talking, and I'm like, oh, let's see what I can learn. Probably not a lot. And I was like, I had a notebook with 80 pages. I'm like, God dang it.
You over here taking notes.
So yeah, I'm gonna have to go back to my old training days and start learning more about women.
Back to nose to the grindstone again, huh?
Yeah. I'm like, what is a P and A spot? What is going on? I'm so confused. And that's how sad I'm like, oh. Not only, and that's P spot and A spot, on top of this that I learned, was the fact that male porn stars in the industry, they some of them have replaced their penis with an actual valve. Yeah, they had an operator. So that's the face I made too. So the real pros in male pornography, well, the males in pornography, yeah, they have replaced their veins with a balloon or something, and underneath their ball sack, there's a valve they turn, and it fills their dick with blood. Then they close it back up to make it flaccid again. Is from first of all what I learned. So yeah, they went like, cause like apparently the male stars were doing needle injections to get hard, right, quicker. I mean, it puts a timestamp on your dick, like an expiration date. But because they're pros, they're like, this is what we got to do to keep up with the business.
Yeah, fuck that. No.
And now the real pros have their own little safety valve, their little valve. And like, and it's an actual little device. Because the porn star I was talking about, it was saying like, if you guys think I have real like balls, not really. I'm looking for the valve to make it the right size that I like. So she was turning it to the size that she enjoyed. That's why she was always playing with her ball. I was like, wait.
So we're only one step away from the androids at this point.
No, probably. But yeah, it turns out I know nothing about women, and I know, and I can never compete in the porn industry because I ain't got no valve. Because the ones that could take them like 20 minutes to get hard, that's 20 extra minutes for the production team to be waiting around, so then they get less work. So if you're just a regular, you know, natural born, you're like, you got no chance. You got the needle guys and the valve guys.
There's probably a civil war over it.
I don't know. Man, scared the hell out of me.
No. Mm-hmm. Nothing around that area. Mostly a surgery to install a fucking valve.
Yeah, like they replace their two viscous. I don't even know how it works. That's how inept I am. I just know it gets hard and it goes in places. That's as far as my. knowledge of it goes.
Things you don't want to know. But
I did. I'm always interested to make myself more knowledgeable of the sexual. What's the word? Sexual.
This is for your porn industry goals, is what it is.
I guess. It's fun to be well informed.
So I want to know about a valve.
I'm interested, but let me see. Let me see how it works. All right, this one caught me by surprise. It caught everybody surprise. The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Goddamn coming down. Yeah. It caught me by surprise because I had woken up that day to go to the restroom. It was like 3 a.m, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to pee. It's one of those pees where like you can't hold it anymore. And like you start dreaming about peeing in your dream.
Yes.
Ooh, and I hope you don't pee is all I'm going to say. I wake up, I go, it's dark, it's late. I'm like, let me turn on the news real quick just to keep some ambient noise in the background, so I can go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And the minute the news comes on, like breaking news. I'm like, oh, it's probably some stupid like legal story or something.
Right.
Something like breaking news
that means nothing.
Yeah, because like it's 24-hour news channels. The breaking news is like benign sometimes.
Yeah.
And then it comes out of I see the bridges come down. I'm like, that looks legit.
Well, it took I think 5 years to build or something like that. It took 10 seconds to destroy.
That's life, I guess. But man, that thing. And like 6 workers got trapped and died there.
Yeah.
Really depressing story.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was quite wild.
It wouldn't surprise me if there was foul play involved, but we don't know yet. So
I doubt it. It's just an accident.
That would be the best bet. Yes.
Breaking news: P. Diddy.
Everybody,
I've been reading a little bit here and there. I don't know what he did to get Homeland Security, of all people.
You don't know?
But they wanted his business. I know what he did.
You know what he did.
Like, allegedly. Let's go with allegedly with
a very gigantic quotation mark.
Yeah, allegedly.
It's so bad, though, that you got 50 Cent out there trolling, too.
He can't stand P. Diddy.
Yeah, he said this motherfucker trying to take me out shopping.
Yeah, I heard. I saw that story. So what are you saying? Buy stuff for me. He was mad as hell.
He said, like, I'm a bitch.
But I don't know. Like, Homeland Security is, like, legit, like this.
They're after him now.
Like, it's not the FBI. It's, like, Homeland Security. That's,
yes.
That sounded different to me. That's, like, terrorism level, isn't it? What would the need for a Homeland Security be over, like, a local SWAT team?
Trafficking.
So, because it's international? Mm-hmm. Is that the homeland? That's wild.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you, no matter how powerful you are.
There's a lot of people that were saying that Justin Bieber's going to probably come out in the next couple of months.
Like, no matter how powerful you are, the minute the government's like, nah, it's like game over.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, El Chapo was the most powerful drug lord in probably the entire world.
Yes.
The one place he did not want to go to jail was in America.
Yeah.
And that was the last thing. He would have done anything not to go to jail in America. He would have gone to jail everywhere else except for America, because he ain't getting out of wherever he is right now. He never will. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. I don't know, is it Combs, right?
Combs, yeah.
Sean P. Diddy Combs. I don't know what you did, but it's a wrap, I guess.
They're probably going to Epstein him.
Yeah.
Remember, Epstein didn't kill him, so.
Yeah, he did. He hung himself with his hand tied behind his back. It's highly blocked.
And he turned off the security camera.
Turned off the security camera. And he put the knocked out all the security guards, and he hung himself. He stabbed himself 42 times in the back. Next up is, this is because of my cousin, which is, this is the reason I want to stay well-informed and, like, not fall into, like, all this, like, random news, right? But, like really well-informed. Like, I may joke around, but, you know, I like to be well-informed. Breaking Bad. There's a poster going around of what looks like a movie of Breaking Bad coming out in August 2024. And it's got Walter White. If you don't know what Breaking Bad was, and I'm sorry, spoilers, but it's been years. It was the show about this chemistry teacher who got cancer and was dying. And he got lung cancer, and he was a high school chemistry teacher, regular family guy, middle class, you know, gorgeous wife, a son, a baby on the way. He's like in his 50s. He's working two jobs. He's got school, and he's got to wipe down cars at a goddamn car wash. Some of his students come in, Mr. White, is that you? He's making it embarrassing the hell out of him. And he gets cancer, lung cancer, inoperable. And so he just breaks bad, like Breaking Bad. Like, he literally just lost it. He's like, I have to leave my family with something. I can't just die. And, you know, so his granddad was just start making meth. So he starts making meth for 5 seasons, and he becomes one of the biggest drug kingpins in that universe. And by his moniker, Heisenberg, his nomenclature, as one would say. And he made like at least like it had to be like over $200 million. Like just in barrels, barrels of money everywhere. And at the end of the series, because he lost his money to some white supremacist, and they killed his DEA stepbrother.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get his get back, and they had kidnapped his partner, and they were forcing him to make the because he made a specific chemical, this chemical formula of meth called blue. It was called Blue Sky because it was blue, and it was like 99% pure. It's like. Like, this other chemistry guy was, like, between 98 and 99, that's a huge difference. No, because he was, like, making his 97% pure, and Walter was making it 99, which is, like, a vast, like it's, like a gulf. It's, like, the difference between a million and a billion.
Yeah.
And so, Walter White was the guy. And so, it all fell down in season 5, and he had to go on the run, and because he was so famous... as a criminal, that he had to hire this guy to get him like a fake identity, And but it was going to take a long time because he was a lot more well known than other people that he the guy worked for, the guy that did a like I don't know how to call it, like false identity, like it's called like a criminal witness protection program, like a witness protection for criminals.
Yeah.
And so he realizes he gets cancer again. He finds out that Blue Sky is still being made in Albuquerque, which is, it's all set in Albuquerque. And he goes back. He takes out the white supremacist with this ingenious attack from a car. Like, he somehow made an automated a machine gun in the trunk of the car to turn on from the press of his key button from one of those little fobs. And he turns it on, and it just, it just lights up the whole building and kills everybody. Except for him and his partner, who he lets go. His partner hates him because he did a lot of horrible stuff to his partner. His partner was one of his one of his students back in the day, Jesse Pinkman, who he dragged into, and he brought Pinkman up to a, like, he was like a low-level drug, like a meth maker.
Yeah.
He would have never amounted to anything. Walter White brought him up to, like, you know, the top echelons of, like, the drug empire. But he did a lot of horrible stuff to Jesse. Like, he killed one of his girlfriends. One of his other girlfriends, he tried to poison his girlfriend's son. He did a horrendous amount of stuff to him. And so, at the end, Walter jumps in to save his partner, Jesse, and he takes a bullet in the side from that automated gun, and he supposedly dies at the end of the series, right? Like, he's got cancer. The police are coming to the little hideout where the white supremacists had their little base. And Jesse escapes. Walter dies on the floor of a laboratory, which is like his favorite thing was the lab.
Yeah.
And in the poster, it's basically Walter White in like a hospital gown with tubes in his nose, head shaved, and like he looks like he's not healthy, but he's alive. And that's what that poster looks so realistic that it looks like it's real. Like there's gonna be like he actually survived the attack, and there's gonna be a Walter White movie. And I looked into it, and it's not. It's made from a fake account on a fake Facebook page. And I'm like, well, and I have to make sure. My cousin wouldn't believe me. He always does stuff like that. He'll just send me, like, oh, my God, can you see? Look at this movie coming out. I'm like, that's the fakest shit I've ever seen in my life. Well, they're going to have DC versus Marvel, Captain America versus Batman. I'm like, no. The fakest. God, like, it's trying to just keep him from not. Because any, like, over since, what is it, over, sense of, I can't even say the word right, like
over-sensationalism. Yeah.
Like, it just like gets people, and get people's brain, and like they just accept it without looking further into it. So I looked into it, and it's not real. I wish it was real. And Walter White did survive. And we got a movie in August 2024, but no. Unfortunately, no. No, Walter White coming back. He's dead. Sorry to spoil it for everybody.
Sorry to burst everybody's bubbles.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great looking poster, too. It looks legit. Like, it's like the AI looks incredible on it because it looks like a real person.
AI has gotten a little too good now, though.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. All right. This is a tester episode, by the way. I'm trying to do these episodes for like 30 minutes, 30 to 35. This one's not going to be that long because we're testing it. I guess I didn't have enough news stories because I only got two left. But as long as you enjoy the first tester episode, you guys can, we'll be back next week. Anyway, let's end up with these last two stories from Florida.
Oh, he's Florida.
One, I don't think is true because I could not find any information on it, but I heard about it.
Right.
The first one is true. This airboat in Florida near Coopertown, it just flipped. Like, it flipped over, and like just all the passengers ended up in the water. Basically, this passenger was like, hey, there's an alligator over there. So the driver or the pilot or whatever it's called in an airboat, he did a sharp U-turn and capsized the whole boat into the water. Nobody was hurt or no one was injured severely. One guy was injured. No, well, one guy was injured, but it was minor and he didn't need any hospitalization. But, I mean, there was a gator in that water, so, you know.
I mean, there's also going to be some Burmese pythons. There's going to be...
Yeah, and pythons bang in gang bangs all the time, as we covered in Cozy Nights, one of our news stories. Well, I guess you guys don't know about that, because we lost that episode, come to think of it. If you didn't know, they're called mating balls, and pythons, they bang in gang bangs. It'd be one female and, like, 15 males. I'm dead serious. It is horrific to watch.
But you watch it.
Well, it was a video of the news story. Yeah. I got to stay informed. My last story is I could not find any actual like news like outlet that confirmed it. But this couple in Florida at a McDonald's, they got into it with a cashier over a mask dispute. And before they assaulted the cashier, they allegedly did the Dragon Ball Z fusion dance before they beat the brakes off of him. So I don't know if it... I imagine the cashier had a scouter, right? It's like, your power level is 40 and 17. You can't beat me. And then they do the fusion dance. Like, oh my God, it's over 9. And they beat the hell out of him.
They did it in honor of Akira Toriyama?
I don't know. Like, this is like from 3 years ago. So like,
oh, really?
Yeah. That's why I can't find anything about it.
Huh.
I saw it on X. So then when I saw it, I went to on actual Google, which is as far as I can go with my actual search skills.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's deeper... search engines that I haven't become aware of.
Right.
I'm a novice news verifier, so I don't know. Like I just imagine standing there watching them do a fusion dance, and then they start beating the shit out of you.
Yeah, it would be funny though to see it.
It would be like, what the hell are they doing?
Fusion, huh?
I imagine they do it at home, butt ass naked all the time before they fuck. I can already tell they probably do that shit. That's it for the first episode of Nightly News, our bit of a prologue episode. We'll be back with episode 2 next week, and I don't really have an outro. Oh, I guess the outro should be always stay informed.
Cool. What you got in the Urban Dictionary today?
All right, Urban Dictionary. Let's see what we got. Got 13 today.
Overachiever here.
Not really.
No.
I just like the number 13. The first word is squamosa. I don't know how to say it, but it's basically a circumcised penis. It's like squamza. I'm like, God dang, that's weird. Anyway, next one is pothead. Someone who is worthless without a job and has to pick a bowl about every 10 minutes. They steal from their family and sell their shit just so they can buy some weed.
So people like grew up around you. That's fine.
Hey, pothead.
I know. I just need a dime. Just a dime.
Yeah, you give them a dime. Like, no, like a dime bag.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I'm sorry.
A $10 bag because I can't afford nothing else.
Next one is turkey thigh. One of us thighs like a turkey. Thick thighs. Basically the example.
With chicken legs.
I hope this one isn't offensive. It sounds like it is. It's called just all preggy. It's a gay word for a girl that's pregnant.
I know that's what people call each other all the time. Where they say, are you preggy?
I would have probably saw him punch someone in the face. What the fuck did you call me?
Go up to a fat guy. Are you preggy?
I had a coworker once who he was on the spectrum, and he was highly intelligent on like mechanical engineering and stuff, but not too good with the social skills.
Yeah.
And he just walked up to one of our coworkers like, are you pregnant? And she was just fat. That's what she said. I was like, oh, God. Next one's called Beer Run. It's like to steal beer late at night from a 24-hour grocery store.
Yeah.
God, 24-hour grocery store. I would be fucking exhausted. And in the middle of the night, the weirdest of people come out.
That's what Crest is.
Crest is 24 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Walmart used to be 24 hours.
Used to be.
Must have been nice.
Walmart now, they close at fucking 11 o'clock.
Yeah, man, I can't get there in time. I work too late.
Yeah.
Work till like 10:30, and then I get there, I'm like, they're like, we close, and they spit in my face.
And go in there like in the middle of the night, because whenever I was working the certain position at work, I'd get off really late. So it's like, okay, on my way home, I can stop at Walmart. I get whatever little things right. I need, they're open. And you go in there, and it's like a circus. Because you get to see some weird-looking people that are dressed, like, fucking crazily. Like, it was just a Walmart experience.
Fucking Walmart, man.
You get to go in there and you see the goth couple in there where they look like they've been out for vampires and stuff.
I had a friend of mine who works at Walmart. He's, like, higher management now. But back when he was a stalker at night, right, because he stalked overnight, he had a guy come in who reeked so bad that he started gagging. As he came, like, excuse me, you know where the toothpaste is?
Like, I've been around a Walmart worker like that.
Like he couldn't like go near him.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yep.
Next word is sluck.
Is what?
Sluck.
Sluck?
Yeah. To suck, lick, and fuck someone at the same time. Sounds like fun. Actually, that's an easy way to do it, because as you're banging her, right, you can suck on her nipple and lick on suck on her areola and lick on her nipple at the same time. They enjoy that. I don't know shit about women anymore, apparently.
No. You don't even know what sluck is no more?
I don't know what anything anymore.
No, it's just some weird thing you've never even heard of.
Next one is called fuckboy, and it just says, hi, my name is Toby. The one that says Toby is a fuckboy. Next one is herogasm. Basically, is when you stage saving someone's life under the intent that they will have sex with you as a reward. Seems like...
That's something Spider-Man does all the time.
He rarely gets laid, if I'm being honest, is he?
I've seen one of those stupid polls that they have on YouTube where it said, whose life would you like to have if you could? Would you rather have like Iron Man, Batman, Spider-Man, or the Hulk, right?
Uh-huh.
And the whole list was everybody wanting Spider-Man's life. It's like, do y'all know what kind of shit he has been through in his personal life?
Struggled a lot.
Like, yeah, Tony may have been an alcoholic, but I'll take that over like the mental torture that Spider-Man's had.
Next time is DSK. It's dick sucking knees. The effect of performing, he spelled fellatio wrong, by the way. He's like, fellatio.
Fellatio.
Yeah. On the person has on the performer's knees. The knees tend to develop irritation from kneeling for an extended period of time. You know you can sit down, right? Crisscross applesauce.
This is going to be a while.
Yeah. Next one is Chewbacca. It's Chewbacca's gay brother. Chewbacca. Next one is your mom is like a taxi. And he just wrote, your mom is like a taxi. Do you know why? Because I ride her all day. That's right. Like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, but he has to pay the fare.
I guess you got to pay that fee. Next one is a word that seems so offensive, but it's called Dommy Mommy.
Now, these are your fetishes coming out here. You want a Dommy Mommy?
Not really. A gentle, dominant woman. A woman who will hold you until King come. A woman that will spoon you when you're cold and kiss your neck to make you shiver. A woman that will love you for who you are while having wonderful quality of dominance that a subby male craves. Subby male. A woman that will let you have her tits as a pillow. Sounds like fun, I guess. A woman that will wrap you in her thighs or sit on your face and make you feel loved and wanted. A perfect woman. Last one is Buckle Bunny. You ever heard of that one? It's a female groupie of rodeo cowboys.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I want to see if I can become the fastest gun in the West. Like, I feel like I got to, like, if I have a weighted gun, right, that weighs twice what my regular gun would, and I just quick draw that some bitch. You have to, it's not only being a quick draw, right, but also accurate aim.
Yes.
Like, the minute that gun comes out, you got to hit that bullseye, boom.
What was that one lady's name that was part of the Wild West with Wild Bill and all them?
Annie Oakley?
Yeah, where she could shoot a silver dollar out of the air.
Allegedly.
No, she really could. I mean, there's, like, actual accounts of it, so. I mean, you can only give so much credence, but.
And it is.
If I remember right, I think Mythbusters did it at, like, a.
They tried to
see if you could do it. You can do it. It just ain't easy. But they had a quick draw guy that could do it.
Yeah. Be fun, though, to be a quick draw guy. And I guess it's due to our American, like, upbringing, because, like, it just, the whole cowboy aesthetic is so ingrained in our society.
Yeah.
So being able to shoot a gun like for the quickest draw, bam, and put that bitch back.
You know what's really funny is, do you know how long the Wild West actually was?
Probably like 40 years.
30. That's it.
It didn't last that long.
Not even that long.
Oh.
It's got so much iconography behind it and everything, but it wasn't even that long of a time period.
You've been shooting my guns out. Been watching too much. The movie that really, it wasn't a movie. It was Red Dead Redemption 2 that really, brought the cowboy aesthetic as a real interest to me.
No, it was your Mexican heritage.
No, not really.
Every Mexican I know on the South Side has a pair of cowboy boots and a cowboy hat.
Yeah, but none of them are.
And they shoot guns on their birthdays, so.
Ain't none of them me. I can't be this fucking, just like, I just drip with charisma.
Chinese mall.
Chinese mall. You thought you were on it.
It's the chorizo coming out of your pores. You just drip with it.
We should go shooting someday. Just be blasting guns all day. Yeah,
we need to. There's a range not too far from your house.
Cool. Well, that's it for Urban Dictionary.
That's it for Urban Dictionary?
All right, guys, I'm a bit of a down kick today. I am exhausted. We are streaming. We are recording late. I worked all day. I fuck all night.
Hey, we work long hours, okay? He works at a different business than I do, but...
One of them, my God. Willing to marry.
Yeah.
I mean, too many people.
All right, moving on to our breakdown for the week, we have Akame ga Kill. You ever heard of this one?
Yeah. Someone with a chick with the superpowers?
Well, some way, yeah.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the chick, though, I guess. Akame.
Like black hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know some of it.
All right, so episode one is called Kill the Darkness.
I do that every day.
The darkness in your soul.
Yeah, I have to. A constant battle between good and evil in my personal being.
So, a swordsman named Tatsumi travels to the capital in hopes of raising money for his impoverished village. After he is robbed by a blonde girl in a tavern, he is forced to sleep in the street. But he is soon invited by a rich girl named Aria to stay at her manor. While waiting for his friends, or his best friends, Sayo and Iyusa, or sorry, how do I pronounce that? Iyusu? Yeah. You only see the name once or twice in the anime, so it's not like it's a recurring character. But he's waiting on them to arrive to the capital as well. Tatsumi learns of Night Raid, a group of assassins known to attack at night. Hence the name Night Raid. Come nightfall, Night Raid appears at the manor and kills Aria's guards and parents. During this time, Tatsumi shields Aria while facing off against Night Raid's member, Akame, only to be interrupted by Night Raid member Leon, the blonde girl from the tavern. Leon reveals to Tatsumi that Aria and her parents have tortured several people from the countryside, including his friends, with Sayo already dead.
Damn.
Tatsumi kills Aria without hesitation or mercy. The girl that he was just protecting, he just kills her. Just before his other friend dies.
Eat.
So Leon invites Tatsumi to join Night Raid against his will. It's like, you know what? You killed the girl that we were supposed to kill, so...
Wait, why'd he kill her?
Because she killed his friends.
Oh, okay.
Locked in this, like you know, other building.
Well, damn, that was quick.
With torture and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Episode two is called Kill the Authority. So Leon...
Eyes up!
So Leon takes Tatsumi to the hideout of the Night Raid and introduces him to the other members, all of whom Tatsumi views as freaks. He like fuck, freaks. Night Raid leader Najinda convinces Tatsumi to join Night Raid. Since it is their mission to...
Open like a shitty superhero team. What part of Night Raid?
Kind of, yeah.
Or superheroes.
Well, assassins.
Like the fucking B team of a superhero. Justice League International.
Oh, that was a horrible series. It just like we're the Wonder Woman in that even. Oh my God, do you remember that?
No, I don't remember about it. It's like the B team. Was it like a Justice League Task Force that was like always on secret missions?
Yeah.
And there was like a guy that was like always like, he used to be a bad guy, but he became a good guy.
Oh, there was a few.
Like Major Disaster or something. I forgot what he's called.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where he, I think he really was a major in the army or something like that. Yeah. The DC has done some things, but nothing can be as bad as the New 52. So I'll always consider that to be the worst thing ever had to happen. All right. So Najinda assigns Akame to train Tatsumi, but Tatsumi ends up merely cooking and fishing the entire time.
Sounds like fun.
Tatsumi is later given the assignment to assassinate the corrupt captain of the Imperial Police named Ogre, while often framed innocent people as criminals. Who often framed innocent people as criminals? At night, Tatsumi finds Ogre in the streets, where they draw swords on each other, where Ogre becomes arrogant, and Tatsumi kills Ogre with the slash of one slash from his sword. As Akaki Tatsumi reports back to the hideout, Akame does a strip search of him, making sure he is not wounded.
She's fucking chasing his butthole. Like, I gotta strip search everything. Spread your butt cheek.
Since he has survived thus far, she accepts him as a member of Night Raid at this point. Episode 3, Kill Your Cares. So Najinda dispatches Night Raid to take down 8 tribal assassins trying to invade the hideout. The next morning, Tatsumi is assigned to train under Night Raid member Mine. While roaming the streets, Tatsumi becomes frustrated because he is mainly shopping around town with Mine for some clothes the entire time.
Huh.
So they just spend the entire time just shopping for clothes.
That's filler episode.
Later on, they witness the Prime Minister Honest ordering the execution of a man who saw through Minister Honest's true colors, the tyrannical de facto ruler of the Empire. Later on, Najinda sends Night Raid on a mission to assassinate Yokel, a distant blood relative of Prime Minister Honest of the Empire. Yokel is responsible for kidnapping women, and abusing them to death. At the mansion, Tatsumi watches as Mine uses her Imperial Arms Pumpkin, a powerful rifle gun, to snipe Yokel to death.
Jesus. I'm going to snipe him to death. You don't not snipe him to injure.
Despite Aoko being surrounded by innocent women he captured. Tatsumi also listens to the story of how Mine was abused in her childhood for her half-foreign blood and ran away to join the Revolutionary Army in hope that no one else would suffer the same discrimination and torture that she had done.
What year is it set in?
It's a fantasy world, so it's not historical. The last one of the 5 bodyguards ambushes Tatsumi and Mine, having escaped from being killed by the rest of the members of Night Raid. Tatsumi restrains the bodyguard, giving Mine the opportunity to snipe. However, Tatsumi is upset that Mine grazed his hair whenever with her shot. It's like, fucking hair.
Beautiful hair. Luscious locks.
Because he's like that main character of like, where he's got the kind of hair like Yu-Gi-Oh would have or something. Not colored or anything.
Like, ass fucking haircut.
But they just have a certain style to their hair.
Yeah.
She fucked it up. Episode 4 is called Kill the Imperial Arms User. So the members of the Night Raid discuss about their next target, the infamous Zanku, a former executioner who became addicted to beheading several victims at night.
Eesh.
Najinda explains to Tatsumi about the origin of the Imperial Arms, powerful relics that are wielded of each of the members of Night Raid all currently possess one. The Imperial Arms are so lethal that if 2 wielders choose to duel, one of them will ultimately perish no matter what happens.
Duel.
In the streets, Tatsumi and Akame pair up and find Zanku. Tatsumi is led away by an illusion of Sayo, one of his friends that died, soon falling into a trap set by Zanku, who uses his Imperial Arms Spectator, a headpiece that grants precognition to predict every attack.
Damn.
Yeah. Akame finds Tatsumi whenever he becomes wounded, and takes his place to battle Zanku alone. Zanku tries to trick Akame by creating the illusion of Akame's younger sister, Kurome. Akame quickly destroys the illusion and then kills Zanku, using her Imperial Arms Murasame, a sword with a poisonous blade. He rests in peace now that he is no longer driven mad by the voices of the executed victims.
Damn.
So her relic is a sword. A poisonous bladed sword. Episode 5 is called Kill the Dream. So we've already killed the Imperial Army.
Apparently.
That's how every title starts to kill. Kill the Dream is the title of this for episode 5. Tatsumi is surprised that he will be training under Night Raid member Shile for the day. After Tatsumi learns how to swim while in a suit of armor, Shile mentions her inability to do various chores, which explains her clumsiness. Shiel first discovered her abilities as an assassin whenever she rescued her best friend by killing her best friend's ex-boyfriend.
Nice.
Later, Tatsumi tries on Zanku's recovered spectator, but it rejects him whenever he attempts to activate it, because they kind of have a mind of their own, the relics do. The top priority of Night Raid is to collect every Imperial Arms known in existence, which are all documented in a book. However, Tatsumi is upset upon learning that none are capable of resurrecting the deceased. The next day, Tatsumi becomes separated from Leon while patrolling the marketplace. He is aided back to the marketplace by Sir Yu Ubiquitous, of the Imperial Police.
Ubiquitous.
Yes. Who possessed the Imperial arms. What's that word that you said you wouldn't know how to pronounce if you said it, if you seen it? Hecatoncles or whatever it is.
Oh, Hecatoncles.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
It is?
Hecatoncles.
Hmm, interesting.
A dog-like pet named Kuru. When she runs off, Seryu intends to seek to kill all of the Night Raid for the death of her mentor, revealed to be Ogre. Episode 6, Kill the Absolute Justice. Tatsumi and Leon infiltrate a temple to assassinate the gang of dread smugglers, who have incapacitated and drugged a large group of women. Leon uses her Imperial arms, Lionel, a belt which gives her feline-like abilities, to take out the gang. Meanwhile, Mine and Shile are ambushed by Seryu, in which her Kuro can regenerate and increase in size. While Mine uses Pumpkin, this big-ass rifle that she names Pumpkin, to attack Kuro, Shile uses her Imperial arms, Extase, a pair of giant scissors, to chop off Seryu's arms. So that's her Imperial arms, is a giant pair of scissors.
It's an odd choice.
Although it is revealed that Seryu was concealing guns inside of her arms, Shile deflects the gunshot and slices off the guns. Kuro goes berserk, grabbing Mine and nearly crushing her to death. So it's basically a fight scene at this point. When Shile rescues Mine, Seryu fires a shot from a gun concealed in her mouth. Shile.
Man, girl's just packing everywhere, huh?
This bitch has guns everywhere.
She bends over and a fucking cannon comes out her ass.
It wouldn't be surprising. Mine watches in horror as Kuro bites Shile in half. Shile is able to use Extase to emit a blinding light as her trump card, allowing Mine to flee as Shile is killed after being devoured by Kuro. As it rains, the other members of Night Raid are in shock whenever Mine informs them of the death of Shile. Episode 7. So one of the Night Raid members have died at this point.
Damn.
Episode 7.
Such good people.
Sure. Episode 7 is called Kill the Three. All right. So the Emperor of the Empire orders General Esdeath of the Empire to hunt down Night Raid in exchange for a marital suitor. Tatsumi, assuming that Akame is calm and composed ever since the death of Shile, is surprised that Akame has been utterly devastated, which gives him the ambition of protecting her and staying alive. Esdeath dispatches the three beasts, Deidara, Niau, and Liver.
Niau.
N-Y-A-U.
Niau.
An elite group of Imperial arms users to take out Prime Minister Chori and his daughter Spear from the Northern Tribe, who were political rivals against Honest. The three beasts then spread flyers to frame Night Raid for the murders. Najinda sends Tatsumi and Night Raid member Bulat aboard a massive luxury liner. There, Niau uses her imperial her imperial arms, Scream, a flute that weakens those who hear its melody, but Tatsumi resists its sound. Tatsumi is then confronted by Deidara, who uses his imperial arms, Belvark, an axe that splits into two blades. Balut, Balot.
Balut. Isn't Baloo from Jungle Book?
No.
Baloo.
Bulat. Bulat. He's a guy that has one of those like spiral hair things that come out at the front that they always read.
Bullshit, yeah.
They try to give like the gangster type characters. Yeah. So Bulat intervenes and uses his imperial arms and Curcio, a sealed white sword that releases into a suit of armor.
It's like a fucking Harry Potter spell. Like Curcio.
To kill Deidara. Bulat recognizes Liver as a formal general of the Imperial Police. Episode 8, Kill the Three, Part 2. Liver uses his Imperial arms Black Marine, a ring that controls any form of liquid, in which Bulat has the disadvantage due to being surrounded by an ocean, because they're on a cruise liner, basically. Meanwhile, Tatsumi fights against Niau.
Niau.
Who is very
I'm
quick.
I'm going to fight you now.
I'm going to fight Niau.
Niau. But you'd rather fight somebody now and all of them. Niau. I got to fight Niau.
who is very quick on his feet. Liver unleashes a special attack which causes Bulat and Liver's Imperial arms to wear out due to critical damage. After Bulat turns down Liver's offer to join Esdeath's army, Bulat and Liver engage in a sword fight to the finish. Bulat manages to mortally wound Liver, who dies after revealing that he joined Esdeath because of his respect and admiration for her. Bulat realizes that Liver injected poison into his blood as a last resort, in which Liver manipulated his spilled blood to pierce through Bulat, since this person could use, control liquids.
Hmm.
So Liver poisoned Bulat's blood, basically. As now he used to scream to bulk up his body, Bulat entrusts Incursio to Tatsumi, who successfully activates it and manages to kill Niao. He kills Niao.
Damn.
Bulat
is my favorite character.
Bulat succumbs to his wound soon after, and Tatsumi sorrowfully mourns. But what's really funny is Bulat had a crush on Tatsumi. He was constantly trying to be around him.
How you doing, girl?
Even though they're both dudes.
How you doing, bro?
All right, so episode 9 is called Kill the Lust for Combat. So, as Mine has her arm fully recovered, she sees Tatsumi and the Night Raid member, Lubbock, doing push-ups with Akame and Leon, literally on their backs. Majinda assigns...
A push-up on your back?
With Akame and Leon, they're on their back.
Oh, on his back, okay.
Yeah, like they're not just on their backs figuratively, they're on their backs.
Literally.
Najinda assigns Akame as temporary leader before planning to leave to recruit new members. Meanwhile, the Jaegers, Wave, Kuroma, Wave, Kurame, Sarayu, Dr. Stylish, Run, and Bowles.
Dr. Stylish is the best name of the group.
Assemble and Esdeath brutally introduces herself as the leader of the group.
Damn.
Whose mission is to hunt down the enemies of the Empire. Lubbock invites Tatsumi and Leon into his library, where he explains that Najinda was disgusted with Esdeath's excessive cruelty against the Southwestern Tribal Army many years ago. Esdeath sponsors a tournament, secretively to find her marital suitor. Tatsumi enters the tournament under the guise of a blacksmith. After Tatsumi flawlessly kills a bull-headed opponent in the arena and wins the tournament, Esdeath suddenly becomes infatuated with his power.
Flawless victory.
Yeah. As she approaches him, she shackles him and takes him inside the palace.
Does unspeakable acts to him.
Akame, Leon, Mine, and Lubbock.
The screams could be heard throughout the court.
Just that's all you hear? Mine and Lubbock learn about this and discuss whether or not they should rescue Tatsumi. Esdeath and the Jaegers raid and destroy the Fortress of Bandits, and Tatsumi is forced to watch.
Later... So I don't know if he's forced to watch. It sounded off to me.
Yeah. Later, as Esdeath tries to get intimate with Tatsumi in her bedroom, Tatsumi resists temptation and tries to convince her to join his side. However, she slaps him.
Slap his cock clean.
She will never change for him, despite his debate that the Empire is corrupt. The next day, Esdeath assigns Tatsumi and Wave to the western part of the mountains, tasking them to take a group of tree beasts. Although Tatsumi uses Incursio to escape into the forest, Wave uses his Imperial Arms Grand Chariot, a sealed black sword that releases into a suit of armor, to follow Tatsumi.
Jesus.
After Tatsumi manages to swiftly run away, he encounters a Jackaleo.
What the hell is a Jackaleo? Is that a jaguar with horns? What?
Monster.
Huh.
Akame kills the Jackaleo, while Lubbock takes Tatsumi and Akame back into the mountains. At the palace, Esdeath punishes Wave brick by brick for allowing Tatsumi to...
I'll build that shit brick by brick!
Yet Esdeath is still determined to get Tatsumi back. At the library, Tatsumi tells Akame, Leon, Mine, and Lubbock about Esdeath and the Jaegers. So he's given them all the information at this point. Episode 11 is called Kill the Mad Scientists. Dr. Stylish and Team Stylish.
My favorite character.
And Team Stylish, not
just... Team Stylish. He has to have a team. I thought he looked so fabulous.
Hana, Kaku, Mei, Mimi, Tobi, and Truma find the attack and hideout of Night Raid. Tatsumi struggles to fight Kaku. No. He doesn't struggle to fight Kaku.
Kaku. I struggle every day to fight Kaku.
Who is in possession of Shilei's X-Stays, the scissors. But Mine steps in and uses Pumpkin to blast him down. Meanwhile, Akame battles Tobi, whose mechanical body is equipped with guns and swords. Lubbock uses his Imperial Arms Crosstail, a ring of a reel of strings that can be manipulated.
That turned into a suit of armor. Everything else does.
To form a spear and stab Tobi in the chest. Truma tries to attack Mine from behind.
It's the only way you can play Dark Souls. Get him behind him.
But Leona intercepts with a surprise attack and kills him with a single blow. Dr. Stylish's foot soldiers surround Tatsumi, Akame, Leon, Mine, and Lubbock, and all but Tatsumi are afflicted by Dr. Stylish's paralytic poison injected into the foot soldiers.
Paralytic.
Yeah. Najinda rides on an air manta and dispatches Susanoo. And not Naruto Susanoo either.
I'm so confused with all these names.
Lots of motherfuckers.
Crazy. Yeah, well, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Who easily defeats the foot soldiers. Soon, Dr. Stylish injects himself with a vial that transforms him into a danger beast. A gigantic beast, basically.
Danger as opposed to what, a non-danger beast?
It's you. And he consumes Hana, Mei, and Mimi to become even stronger. After Susanoo is unable to attack, Tatsumi, Akame, and Mine work together to kill Dr. Stylish's human body inside of the danger beast.
Oh, Dr. Stylish is a fair character.
And the last episode that we'll cover today, because there's 24 episodes total. Episode 12 is Kill the Newcomers.
What happened to Dr. Stylish?
He's dead.
Oh.
Dr. Stylish wasn't stylish enough.
Damn.
So Tatsumi, Akame, Leon, Mine, and Lubbock are introduced to Chelsea and Susanoo. Najinda's newest recruit and a humanoid Imperial Arms. Meanwhile, Esdeath comforts Suryu over the death of Dr. Stylish.
He's my favorite character.
Tatsumi and Leon take out a horde of Mardons in the forest.
Mardons? Mardons? Yeah, cocks with, like, tattoos? Marked Dong.
Chelsea uses her Imperial Arms Gaia Foundation,
which turns into a suit of armor.
A cosmetic box that allows her to take on any appearance to change into a cat and steal cake from Mine.
The cat can turn into a suit of armor.
Chelsea later berates Night Raid for being incompetent, mentioning the deaths of Shilei and Bulat. Mine convinces Tatsumi and Lubbock to teach Chelsea a lesson for what she has said about them. Lubbock tells Tatsumi to sneak up on Chelsea while she is bathing in the hot springs bath.
Don't do that.
It turns out that Chelsea used his Gaia Foundation to take on the appearance of Susanoo to confuse Tatsumi at first. She reveals to be the only survivor of her former team that was massacred in the past, hence why she berated Night Raid in the first place. Not because she hates him, but because she wants him to do better and not die.
Right.
Elsewhere, Esdeath is told by Run, another character.
My favorite character.
About a list of lookalikes of Tatsumi. But she declares that there is only one Tatsumi whom she loves. She's still after him. She wants little bro's dick that bad.
Thirsty girl.
And she's like, nobody else is good enough. It must be Tatsumi.
Sad unquestionable thirst.
No, we'll cover the
live. Like a spinoff for Dr.
Just Dr. Stylish.
Just Dr. Stylish doing Dr. Stylish stuff. As only Dr. Stylish can do.
I'm surprised Oda hasn't made a spinoff of what's his name from One Piece? Vegapunk? Isn't that his name?
Vegapunk?
Yeah. It's surprising that they haven't made a spinoff for that.
I doubt they will. It's already fucking 60,000 episodes.
And it just keeps going.
He just ain't got time. He doesn't have the time anymore. let me get a little bit offensive here, but he's probably rock hard to get to that finale. I'm talking about, imagine so you have something in your head that only you know about for 20 something years.
He's been edging for a long time.
Yeah, he is fucking rock solid. He just wants to fucking burst all over the planet. Man, those fucking next few panels of when those fucking chapters come out and we find out what the One Piece really is, it's gonna crash the fucking internet.
Yeah. Yeah, it really will.
Like the fucking the One Piece.
Well, look, in Naruto, they killed off Kurama. Did you see that?
I don't know who that is.
The fox.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, he's dead.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's my favorite character.
Kurama. Every character.
Favorite character. Sure. Yeah, you noticed that, huh?
Noticed a long time ago, yeah.
Well, I guess we'll find out what the One Piece really is. Hopefully in our lifetime.
Just don't hold your breath. Your skeleton's still going to be holding his breath waiting for Oda. But yeah, we'll finish the other half of it next week.
Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty, moving on to Reddit Insanity for this week. Got a few.
My nose is hurting, but my nose is fucked up. Got an allergy.
That time of the year, spring.
Yeah.
Alrighty, first one is by Nebula Vagabonds. Tell the... I don't want to whisper. Okay.
My best, I can get my breath out.
All right. This person puts, took my boyfriend out. Took my boyfriend out to eat at the insane, at this insane restaurant with a view, candlelight, and a $90 steak.
$90 steak? That bitch better be the whole fucking thing.
My plan was to sweep him off of his feet so that I might get lucky for once. Yes, I do go above and beyond just to get him in the mood.
Yeah, what is it? Well, wait, what?
This is because the meds he is on are decreasing his sex drive.
Oh, that poor man.
Anyway.
I would. There's no level of medication. I don't care what it's for. If this dick don't dance, I don't take the pills.
These dicks don't dance. Nobody's going to remove their pants. All right. So anyway, when we got home from the restaurant, I did indeed get lucky. I made out with him for a while, then laid on his stomach and reached for the lube. But we hadn't had any in ages, so I guess I got too excited because right before going in, I said something along the lines of, "I'm about to fuck the demons out of you."
Huh, that's a good line.
Next thing I know, though.
My exorcist is growing by the knock them demons out your pussy. The next thing is me outside. He threw me out.
Well, next thing I know, though, my boyfriend was sitting up on the bed, visibly in distress. This is because he has had paranoid schizophrenia and he hauls around trauma.
That's what I explained the pills.
It hauls around the trauma of his super religious parents hammering it into him that he is possessed and trying to exorcise him.
Wait.
I was aware of this, but I honestly didn't have his medical condition in mind whenever I said it. I just said it in the heat of the moment. Needless to say, I did not get sex. Which is even more of a bummer because we sort of in a rough patch, and I have been saving up to even be able to take him to the fancy restaurant.
Ouch, that sucks.
Oh, you done fucked it up on that one, didn't you?
Wonder how the relationship works.
Now what, she's the one that goes and pays that one dude? He's the one that sits there and watches?
That was her?
And falls asleep?
Weird. Oh, that'd be weird. It's just a like, never-ending fucking saga of these two goddamn people.
All right, next one is by DavT4. This person puts, I live in a rural area with quite a bit of underdeveloped land.
Rural.
Rural.
Okay. Something about that word rural.
Rural.
They knew what they were doing when they made that word.
They knew it was going to be country people saying it.
Rural. We a rural area.
In the past, I've had problems with rattlesnakes, especially this time of the year as the temperature warms.
Rattlesnakes, god dang, I'd lose my shit.
As I was driving home last night, I came across a fairly large king snake in the road. For those not familiar with king snakes, they are a proficient hunter of other snakes, especially rattlesnakes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I have a bucket with a lid in the car.
Dang cannibal.
Yeah. Well, not cannibal. They don't eat itself.
Is it a snake? If he eats other snakes, it's still cannibalism.
I mean, chimps eat monkeys. Have you seen that?
Those are apes. Those are monkeys. Vastly different. I can beat any monkey in a fight. I can't beat an ape.
You can't beat a chimpanzee?
Ain't no goddamn way.
Or like the orangutan that drives that golf cart?
No. You can't beat an ape in a fight.
I have a bucket with a lid in the car and gently guided the king snake into it. When I got home, I released him on a portion of the property where we have encountered rattlesnakes in the past and wished it happy hunting. He's like, go ahead, have fun. I then went about the rest.
He goes back home, and like the next day, he finds the king snake's head on like the on his porch, right, with a warning from the rattlesnake.
A few hours later, my wife and I were grilling, and she went out to pull the chicken off the grill. I hear her scream and the sound of the plate dropping. She runs back inside, yelling that there is a snake on the patio. I tell her that it might be the king snake I released earlier. Maybe. You never know. Seriously? You don't think you should tell me whenever you release a snake on our property? Apparently, no. Whenever the best... Apparently, no was not the best answer.
Why not?
Next one is by Re6.
Re6?
Or... I-I-I-I-I-I-I-I-I-I-I-6. Person Puts.
So angry right now.
Person Puts. My girlfriend and I made Mexican food for dinner tonight, and she has a lower spice tolerance than me, so we made the food a little more mild, and I heaped multiple jalapeno slices on my plate later.
Jalapeno slices. Jalapenos.
Jalapenos. Much later in the night, I'm going down on her. She's having a great time. Then suddenly, instead
yeah,
of
pulling, I'm fucking ruin her vagina. Watch your fucking mouth.
And suddenly, instead of pulling my head towards her, she's putting it away, saying, "How many jalapenos did you eat? I think it's burning." One frantic toothbrush and then two freaked out showers later, she is currently laying spread eagle on the bed with ice on there for the wrong kind of spicy reasons, whispering, "I can't believe you burned my vagina."
Weird, but shit happens. Also, no, don't cut up jalapeno then fucking take a piss. Wash your hands first.
This is speaking from experience.
Nah.
No.
You're very smart.
You don't want to touch yourself after?
Never done that, no.
All right. Next one is by Tiberium Leader. This person puts, "This week I'm meeting my girlfriend's family and staying with her mom and uncle in the country. It is also the first time I'm meeting them as my girlfriend and I met in a country and met in my country and have been together for approximately 10 months. On the first day there, we landed yesterday late in the night. I decided to drop the kids in the pool. My girlfriend was still in bed whenever I went to, and her mom was eating breakfast in the living room. It was a big dump and I tried to flush, but it wouldn't go down. I decided to try again. I'm still nope.
Damn, nothing worse than a fucking flush that won't go down in a fucking house you don't live in.
I start to panic.
Exactly. Like, oh, fuck.
And I wait until the water is fully replenished and press it down. At that moment, I hear my girlfriend and mom talking.
your ear just like, every noise in the house is like, your ears are just more adapted to hearing the strain, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Meaning I can't ask my girlfriend or for help without notifying the mom. I panic and decide to text my girlfriend that I need help, but I hear her phone ring in her bedroom.
Come on, this dookie won't go down.
I then decide to go to get her in a subtle way when her mom went to the kitchen. She is like, God damn it, and she goes with me to the toilet. She flushes it and still stuck, obviously. She walks away to her... She walks away to her mom. At this point, I realize I should have just been up front immediately, as now it looks like I'm hiding behind my girlfriend. The mom says it's absolutely no problem and gathers supplies to unclog the toilet and goes to get groceries as she was planning to do.
Supplies? What shit you need to fucking plug a toilet?
The unclogging doesn't work with the supply.
God dang, man. What did you fucking just dump a god dang neighborhood breaker? Like I did?
Yeah. So my girlfriend is like, I'll call my dad, as the uncle is also not home.
The dad goes in there, like, he opens up the fucking toilet, right? He's like, God damn, I need a shit like that since Nam.
Now, you need to know that I have never met her dad either. He lives in a different country entirely. Parents are divorced.
God dang. How many fucking people is everyone living? They're like, we're nations in this house.
So I hear her dad and his girlfriend laugh with my girlfriend over the phone in their language. Well,
God dang funny.
Well, so I'm still working on the toilet. At that point, I realize I need to laugh with them or else it's just going to turn awkward. So I introduce myself and tell them both and we start to have a good laugh. He tells me that the toilet has never clogged before.
You broke my fucking bathroom.
but advises to cut the turns.
God.
And so I do. And fortunately, it works.
Thank God.
I flush and clean everything.
What do you cut it with?
He doesn't say.
He just gets a knife from the kitchen.
He gets the boot knife.
And then just fucking nasty fucking thing.
I flush and clean everything with my girlfriend and we laugh in the meantime. After everything is clean, I come to realize that I shit so much on the first day of meeting both her parent that I clogged the toilet. And I'll be
hearing this. We established that already.
And I'll be hearing this for the rest of my life from her, her parents, uncle, and siblings, forever known as the big pooper.
Hey, they go to the family holidays, right? They tell all their kids, like, you dirty bastards.
He needs to go get a poop knife like that one person had from that story a long time ago.
Yeah.
You remember the poop knife story, don't you?
Yeah, that weird, where he thought he mistook a specific item in a friend's house to be everyone has a poop knife in that. No, they don't.
Everybody's supposed to have a poop knife, aren't they? It's like, no.
I don't know how many horrendous shits your family has to have to incorporate a fucking knife into your bathroom routine.
You're telling me you don't do that? Come on.
Jesus Christ. Aye, aye, aye.
All righty. And the next one is a relationship advice post on Reddit.
We got those. Completely single. I'm so good at giving advice to people.
Again, you may have heard this one. I don't know yet because it's been going around recently. But what did you take on it, okay?
All right.
So this person puts, this might be a long post, and it is. I can attest to that. It is a long
post. It is.
I am at a loss on what I should do.
Kill him. Done. Moving on.
I met my husband whenever I was 20 at a gym. I was trying to lose some weight. He eventually noticed that I was sticking to my New Year's resolution. 2 months later, we were dating. Learned that he was from Indiana, and he had been stationed in Texas for just over 2 years at this point. Eventually, he met my family and my parents, instantly liked him. My two younger sisters took a bit longer to woo over, but my older brother and him clashed over sports and loved to trash talk each other. So, all in all, my family's family liked him.
Cut a fucking her brother.
He was incredibly patient and kept me motivated not only at the gym, but in school as well. He had to work late on his birthday, 9 p.m., so I took him out to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Not late at all.
To not particularly now.
Not to me.
So I took him out to Buffalo Wild Wings for his birthday, and we had a great time. I had also set up a surprise birthday party for him the next day, his actual birthday. Nothing extravagant, but his two roommates, the lady I thought he was dating and the other coworker of theirs, were immediately on board and had told him that they were going to, on a couple's trip for the weekend.
Where should be the lady he thought he was dating?
One of the housemates.
She thought he was dating her?
Yeah, she thought he was dating her whenever they first met.
That's it. She just kind of breezed through that. Like, no context whatsoever. That was weird.
Yeah. So they told him that they were going on a couple's trip for the weekend.
Okay.
That's what he thinks already. My family wanted to come and be there for the surprise and cake before heading home, and a handful of other friends. Everything was in place, and the plan was that we would hide behind the door and jump on his back and cover his eyes. Then the lights would come on and everyone would yell.
Might lose this shit, start swinging on everybody.
Looking back, that was such a dumb idea, but it sounded funny at the time. I heard his truck pull into the driveway and everyone hid. It was almost pitch black in the house. He opens the door and shuts it and takes a few steps in, and I jump on his back.
So it's fucking swinging on me.
Everything happened so fast. I was immediately flipped over and slammed onto the ground as the lights came on. I felt the sharp, intense pain in my shoulder and my ears were ringing. I was horrified. He was horrified at what happened, and my brother and dad started yelling at him. He was trying to help, and my mother and his roommates had to get between him and my father and brother. He just kept apologizing to me. So, we spent his birthday in the ER. I had a separated shoulder and a broken collarbone. I was initially furious at him for doing that and didn't want him to be around me. So, he sat in the waiting room. But then my brother and father had calmed down and realized it for what it was. What was he supposed to think walking into a house believing it to be empty and get jumped on from behind?
I'll fucking let go of the clip.
And he's a military vet.
Yeah, so, exactly why I thought that would be a bad idea.
Yeah. Fucking stupid. So eventually I agreed to let him come back in, and he immediately started to cry and tell me how sorry he was that he would never do that to me again.
unless you jump on my back again, unawares.
I want to make this clear to everyone reading this. This was no way his fault. Yeah, I didn't think it was. You don't have to put it into writing. I read that and didn't think it was his fault. It was a natural reaction, and I wish I had never jumped on his back. He struggled more than I did to put this behind us, but I kept up with my schoolwork, and we continued to grow close over the next year. I would listen to him vent about work, and he would do the same for me about my schoolwork. We went on weekend trips sometimes, just us and sometimes with friends. Sorry, I'm trying to keep this short. No, you're not.
How could be what the part of the advice that she wants?
We'll get to it. You'll see.
She could have cut out all of that.
Yes, she could have. Well,
it has nothing.
She could have shortened it. We'll put it.
It has nothing to do with the question.
Part of it does. Part of it does.
Okay, she just added that part.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep this short, but I have so many happy memories that I want to share. But I'll get to the reason why I'm posting this. Eventually, he asked me to marry him, and it was a no-brainer. He was and still is the love of my life and the only man for me. We got married in a small ceremony with family and a few friends. When his second enlistment ended, we decided that the opportunity for him to as a civilian air traffic controller was too good to pass up. So going from the military to air traffic controller.
It's a brutal-ass job, air traffic control.
Yeah, and I've seen some of the people training for it so they don't fly. That's the scary part. It was hard for him to say goodbye to the Air Force, but he wanted us to finally settle down. We had to move. We had a move between our wedding and when he finally left the service. By then, I was working, and he had a very large amount saved up. As he waited to find out where the FAA wanted him to go, we stayed with my brother and his wife back in my hometown. Eventually, he got the email, and to our surprise, he would be working fairly close to where. He'd be working fairly close to where we already were. So, not far away.
No problem.
He knew how much I had missed my hometown, so we decided to buy a house, and he would commute almost an hour and a half each way.
Ooh.
It was a huge sacrifice on his part. 2020 happened, and I lost my job, but my husband made more than enough to cover my lost wages. We weren't getting any younger, and we decided to start a family. It took a bit, but eventually I got pregnant, and we had a wonderful 2-year-old son.
Let's know they're not Mexican. Would have taken no time at all.
2 years.
You'd had 8 of them by then.
3 sets of triplets.
Basically.
9 kids.
Hey, fuck.
First year was.
Did you think I'm joking? They're like, you work at retail. You see how like one mom with like 15 fucking kids. I'm like, yeah. God.
It's not a joke. It's definitely not a joke.
We just be fucking pumping children out.
Just pumping in general.
If you ever need to send to start a space force and send us to fight like extraterrestrials, just send us the Mexicans. We can replenish our losses real quick.
Mexican and Chinese.
God, we'd just be fucking unstoppable.
Oh God, imagine the strain of a Mexican Chinese person. Be a bunch of kittens.
Be highly fucking functional for sure.
So the first year was a struggle for us, both as we tried to adapt to parenthood. My husband struggled more than I did, but I helped him. If you've kept up with the news, the FAA is short-staffed with not enough controllers, so my
husband... Kept up with the news? What am I? That'd be the random news to keep up with?
Yeah.
Like, God dang, FAA is losing employees? Ah. Wow. Like, why would I? The randomest... I don't know why I find that so funny.
She's very long-winded, obviously. So... So my husband works mandatory overtime, and usually most shifts are 10 hours legally the max.
Overtime, god dang.
And 10 hours legally the max. And each Wednesday he gets off work at 11 p.m. And
now he is working late.
Yeah, and has to be back to work at 8 a.m. That's most 5 hours of sleep if he drove home. So on those nights he sleeps over at a coworker's house.
Male.
He has, but apparently
not and dirty.
He has offered to make the drive, but I don't want him driving tired or working tired either. It's like, you want those planes to crash?
No.
Honestly, it did suck on those nights whenever he wasn't home and our son just wouldn't sleep. He encouraged me to reconnect with old friends, and I have, which leaves us to the reason for this post.
Uh-oh. And what old friend did she reconnect with?
Turns out I'm all like that. So,
what old friend did he reconnect with? Who's fucking who and why?
It's not even that. Who? That's the scary part.
Scary?
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I met up with some old girlfriends for a play date in which our kids crawl around on the floor, basically. Most were complaining about their husbands, fiancés, or boyfriends not helping around the house. I do most of the housework, but my husband has always helped me whenever he is home. I changed the subject and asked one of my friends, I'll call Lana.
Lana.
How often does her daughter wake up in the middle of the night? This eventually led to me telling them that my husband stays near his work on Wednesdays, and some of those nights were rough on me, especially earlier on. That got me a good lot of sympathy, and I don't know why, but it felt good to hear someone that wasn't family say those things. I kept my mouth shut whenever they said my husband should just suck it up and take care of his kid, and that their husbands commute 2 hours to work each way.
4 hours?
Yeah.
Like, well, one fucking desolate town. He doesn't desolate town you people live in. It's got to fucking travel like 87 fucking miles each way.
Yeah. Like, damn. So they're putting in her mind that he should make that fucking drive anyway. Our husbands do.
What car accident did he have that ruined his fucking life?
I wanted to say, well, your husbands have the same hours every day and aren't responsible for others' lives.
Yeah.
Instead, I just nodded in agreement.
What plane crash did he cause that ruined their fucking life? I'm trying to figure out what happened.
It makes me sick that I did that. My husband woke up just as much as I did and still does whenever our son needs him. Last week, my husband had a very rare Saturday and Sunday off. My parents offered us a child-free weekend to include Thursday and Friday, and we took it.
Oh, my God.
My husband was working, and I met my sister-in-law that Thursday for lunch to invite them over for dinner on Friday. I tripped on the curb and had to twist to make sure my son didn't hit the cement. I banged my right knee pretty hard. It's still purple, but not hurting too much. We wanted to have some people over for dinner, and I invited my older brother's sister-in-law, as well as two of my friends from the previous week and their husbands. Going back to getting slammed by my husband, he mentioned that he hates that story. He doesn't like her to say, you fucked her up, basically.
Oh, weird. What implication of him beating his wife is going to pop up on these people? I don't know what's happening, but I'm getting really close, I think.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't intentional, that he seriously injured me. So I stopped telling the story out of respect for him. Friday rolls around, and my husband picks up everything we need to make a large pot of spaghetti and a few bottles of wine. We had been discussing trying to have another child, so I was planning on getting a bit tipsy and jumping my husband's bone after our guest left.
Tipsy.
I wore a white halter top dress that he loves. Risky to wear when eating pasta and drinking red wine, but I felt good. Our guests arrive, and we are ourselves a class of when and small talk, making small talk. I noticed Lana whispering something to her husband, but ignore it, figuring maybe... I figured that maybe she liked something, and she was asking her husband if they could get something similar. The dinner starts, and everything is going well.
At the end of dinner, like, do you want to stay with us for the weekend? Get away from your husband.
My husband isn't a big drinker, but he went to get himself a second glass and tongs to make getting seconds easier. I was almost done with my fourth, my sister-in-law and Lana. My other friend, Sarah, fake name, was sipping her first and their husbands were taking it slow. My brother got a call from work and stepped into, blah, blah, blah. Into the guest room to take the call. That's whenever my sister-in-law asks me to tell a story of how I broke my collarbone and separated my shoulder. I figured since my husband was out of the room, there was no harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah. I tell the story, and I'm laughing. My sister-in-law is laughing, and Sarah and her husband seem amused. Lana and her husband are laughing.
The shock on their face, my God.
Lana reaches across the table and grabs my hand and says, I saw your knee and how bruised it was.
I figured that would play into it.
My sister-in-law snorts as Lana continues. You see, he doesn't help with your. You see, he doesn't help with your son, and now he has you believing that he did to your shoulder in some kind of accident. Husband walks in and asks what we're talking about, and Lana tells him that she knows that he is abusing me, that he doesn't help with our son, that he obviously shoved me down and bruised my knee, that I should have left him whenever he broke my shoulder. My husband immediately looks at me and asks, what the hell did you tell her? And that's whenever Lana's husband speaks up and tells my husband to lower his voice because he won't tolerate verbal abuse and that if you lay a finger on her, I'll beat your ass.
Probably not the best thing to say to a former military man, but okay.
Yeah, and remember, they're in the military dude's house.
Yeah.
I'm too shocked to speak and stick up for my husband. My husband didn't take kindly to getting told that my husband didn't take kindly to that and told them to get the fuck out of his house, which is reasonable. When you're saying that I beat my wife, yeah, that's kind of reasonable.
Yeah, bro, get out.
Brother hears the confrontation, and Lana and Sarah's husband stand between my husband and I. My husband tells them again, don't make me repeat myself. I'm not going to tolerate being called a wife abuser. Get the hell out.
Wife abuser?
Wife beaters, what do you
mean? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Wife beater sounds more, you know, off, like rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
As bad as it sounds.
Yeah. Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
That makes it so much worse.
A little bit.
My brother tries explaining that my husband doesn't hit me and I just turtle like a coward. My husband is trying to calm down and eventually my sister-in-law gets Sarah to drag her husband out of the house. Lana is still trying to keep my husband riled up. I remember my husband looking at me as if he was pleading with me to speak up for them, but I just sat there unable to do anything. I don't know why.
You sure fucking text a lot, though.
She texts a fuck ton. It's annoying, too. I've never been in a situation like this before. Lana and her husband start telling me that I need to leave with them so my husband doesn't hurt me. My husband flips his shit at that and tells my brother-in-law, and my brother-in-law had to almost tackle him because he's getting ready to go beat their ass.
Hopefully not, because he starts beating up on the woman too. Like, well, yeah.
Tell them the truth. Don't walk out the door because I guess her name starts with a B.
Yeah.
My husband's voice was surprisingly calm. I followed them out the door. So he tells her, don't do this, and she followed these people out the door.
Weird.
I was almost in the car with them, with my sister-in-law, who seemed to sober up by then, pulling me back, and my brother forcing Lana and her husband to finally leave. I get back inside and just start crying. I look at my husband, and the love in his eyes is gone. He looked like a stranger to me. I tried to hug him, and he pulled away and said he needed some space. I remember telling him that perhaps he could stay with my brother. I was insulted in our home. You stood by and let your friends lie and you didn't say a word. You walked out of the door to follow them. You chose them over me. If anyone needs to leave, it's you. I'm not saying you have to leave, you have to leave, but I'm not leaving our house tonight. I need some time and space to think about how we move forward, is what his response is. Mm. To me, I find that reasonable. Like, she tells him, it's like, okay, I just let them accuse you of domestic violence. Can you stay with my brother now? Like, bitch. Like,
weird.
My brother agreed.
Weird escalation.
For no reason. Like, think about it. You walk out of the room, go get some more food, and you come back, and the people are saying, I'm going to beat your ass. It's like, what? My brother agreed with my husband, and I left with him. My brother didn't say a word as we rode to his house. I couldn't stop crying and wondering why I let them in my husband and our marriage like that. When we got home, my brother went off on me, asking me the same questions I had asked myself. That my husband never did, my husband never did any of that. God, the way she writes this shit. Blah, blah, blah. Did the things that my friends accused him of. I didn't sleep that night. Every call and text went unanswered. I told my parents what happened. They reacted in a calmer manner, but they weren't happy with me right now anyway. My family is supportive but firmly on my husband's side, and honestly, I don't blame them. I have no excuse for not defending him and trying to de-escalate the situation. My husband wants space, and I'm trying to give him that, but I miss being near him. I have stopped by every day to see our son, but he has been avoiding talking to me. I got a call from him today saying that he is deeply hurt and feels betrayed, that he isn't sure if he can trust me again. He still loves me, but he needs to sort things out on his end, but he was considering separation. I told Lana and Sarah to fuck off and never contact me again. I'm so hurt and angry, very angry at myself. I want my husband back, but I'm not sure that it's possible. I need some advice, please. I want things to be back to normal. I want to pick up and be slung over his shoulder as he grabs my ass. I want him to kiss my stretch marks and tell me that he loves me even more. What do I do? How can I save my marriage?
Don't know. I'm not a marriage counselor.
It looks like you have to talk to them.
And you,
it sounds almost like construed like a story. It doesn't sound believable enough, if I'm being honest.
It really doesn't. It's
too well structured.
Well, when you go into the comments, apparently she's been divorced. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be accused of domestic violence either.
Not really, but once you have to understand, once the ball starts rolling on something someone believes about you, you
can't really do nothing. No,
really, you said, well, fuck, I don't fuck gerbils. There's nothing you can do about it. You just gotta go roll with the boat or roll with the ocean, river, whatever.
Yeah, just thought it'd be an interesting story to read.
Yeah, it is.
It's a long story.
This
bitch is long-winded.
She talks a lot, which I guess she had a lot to get off her chest.
What's funny is that...
authority to write something that you're feeling.
I don't know what the advice is, though. It's like, nobody can really give you advice on this part.
Yeah, this is way too complicated.
Like, you need...
You ended up with a goddamn Stockholm Syndrome situation where you started to believe in a couple that you knew was not true.
Right.
What do you want me to tell you, lady? I don't know. You're highly malleable.
A little too malleable.
By the look of it. What do you want me to tell you?
When you get your own, like, family, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What can any normal person tell you at that point? Like,
who's normal? I don't know.
Relatively normal, I should say.
No advice for her, I guess.
Yeah. Nobody else.
Good luck.
Well, apparently the story got deleted too. Legal reasons, I'm sure.
Probably, yeah. The husband probably got him taken down legally.
It's like, oh, I asked you not to tell a story, and then you go tell everybody.
God dang world, huh? What the fuck? That is funny that the story that he so much hates is now a global fucking etched into, like, you know, the mainframe of the internet.
Yeah,
like it's there forever now.
Yeah, and for me,
and he's like, fuck.
Like, if you were accused of domestic violence, do you know how hard it would be to clear your name?
Like, they're impossible.
Yeah. It's almost like being accused of rape. You know, it just...
Geesh.
You can't... Like, how do you clear your name at that point? Like, even if you do eventually clear your name, like, legally, like, there's that rumor then left. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Fortunately.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm glad that has never happened to me in any way, shape, or form, but my God, I feel sorry for the people that are innocent and that are accused. It's like,
yeah, it sucks.
Nobody wants to be a Harvey Weinstein.
That's why I have my dick under lock and key. And three separate people have the locks or the keys to it. So I have no access to it to myself personally. Until I need it. I need confirmation from all three in a written letter. And I need to wait 7 business days.
You need optical scans and everything. It's behind the wall.
I don't know. It's tough. You meet somebody, right?
Yeah.
And you have a great time, and then it goes bad, and then they can accuse you of everything. You're like, well, you're fucked.
Yeah. Like, that actually happened to a college kid once. There was a big story about it where this girl and him, they were both kind of messed up, right? They go back to his place.
Uh-huh.
And they fuck. Well, then she goes out the next day and says that he raped her. Like,
unfortunate.
But then there, he was exonerated through footage.
No one
through video footage.
Wouldn't matter though, would it?
Well, the college kicked him out.
Exactly.
Even though legally there was proof that she was all over him and not the other way around.
There was a camera in there?
In the dorm room. Yeah.
God.
Like, not the room itself, but the hallway. Like, where...
Were they fucking in the hallway?
She was trying to take his clothes off, yeah. So, it's like, and they're both fucked up drunk. Like, it's not like it's a either side.
My advice is never fuck drunk.
That would be the smart thing.
Never fuck anyone drunk either.
Yeah.
Guys, don't fuck at all. Let's all be celibate. Let's be honest here.
It's getting to that point. It really is. Yep, that's all I got for Reddit today. Anything else before we head out tonight?
You know, there's a P and a spot. I didn't.
And now the more you know,
the
Rambo.
The more you know.
We'll put that in the room.
LeVar Burton,
you know?
LeVar Burton comes out. That's right, though. It's like LeVar. I think that's his name, right? LeVar Burton?
LeVar Burton, yeah.
Okay, LeVar. Okay.
Yeah. Star Trek.
He was cool.
Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, yeah, that's my boy. That shit lasted like 9 seasons, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, Reading Rainbow was like 9 years. Like, it was like 20 years, I think.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. That's fucking wild.
Until they lost funding.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, with that, we will see you guys on the next one.